message I just want to leave with you is titled Interrupted by Grace. In Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 11, I'm just going to read the story. You can listen. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, talking about Jesus, and his disciples were with him in a great crowd. They went with him too. And as he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. Considerable crowd, which means it wasn't as large as the great crowd that was coming in the opposite direction. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, this widow, this woman whose son had died. He had compassion on her and he said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and he touched the bier. He touched the coffin, this wood coffin. It was probably most likely an open coffin in that custom time to the procession was moving. And when he touched it, the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And then Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, but not like a fear that where they were scared, a fear, a reverence, a respect, a sudden moment where they realized that this was God. Fear seized them all and they glorified God. They're saying, "He has visited his people. God has visited his people." And this report about Jesus spread throughout the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. Without social media, Jesus went viral. And Jesus is traveling. He comes to this town of Nain. And you got to picture this. Here comes Jesus with this great crowd, his disciples, this huge crowd. I mean, when Jesus traveled and when he would do miracles and when he would open up blind eyes and the lame would get up and walk and the lepers would be made whole and people that were possessed by demonic spirits and they would be set free. As Jesus would perform these miracles, the crowd would grow with Jesus. I mean, there was no greater person that ever walked the face of the earth. And when he walked on this earth, when he took on flesh, and yet, although he was flesh, he was also God. This is why he had the supernatural power to do things that nobody else could do. And he was walking around, and he was always about his Father's business. And as he was touching lives and as he was preaching the gospel and sharing good news and telling people that the Father in heaven loves you and I'm here to do the will of my Father, that you would be saved and set free, the crowd would grow and he would travel with his disciples in this crowd. And so he comes to the gate of this place called Nain, and coming in the opposite direction, coming out of the gate is this considerable crowd that is a funeral procession that is happening. A widow, a woman whose husband had died. No husband and now no child. Scripture says her only son. And so in this time, a woman who had lost her husband and lost her son, and most likely at the age she was at, she probably couldn't have children anymore. Which means after this funeral procession would end, she would find herself really with no one to help her to bring in food or income for work. Most likely she would have been without any money and most likely would have ended up being homeless. It was a hopeless situation for her. Really hopeless. It was well beyond just the funeral procession that was heading out. But everything else that would follow afterwards would be a life of just death for her. And all of a sudden, as they're coming out with this coffin and this young man dead in this coffin, and scripture reveals to us that there was a crowd, a considerable crowd. And really what would happen in this time, family and friends would join the widow and they would follow the procession. And it goes on further historically that in that time, if you saw a procession going forth like that, if you were in the neighborhood, it was courtesy, it was respect for you and I to join the procession. And for me, I'd find that a little awkward. You know, could you imagine seeing the funeral procession and knowing what it was that the respectful thing to do was to join in? I'd probably want to duck or turn the other way and be like, oh, okay, you know, and finally just kind of join in. And then there was also professional mourners. And so there was this considerable crowd that were all weeping and crying and sorrowful. And it was one crowd represented death. But there was another crowd that was coming that represented life. And in this moment at the gate of Nain, you got to picture these two crowds, but the crowd of life is coming this way and a crowd of death is coming this way. But life wins over death. And in this moment, there comes an interruption of the plan that was coming out of Nain. And really this funeral procession represents darkness. It represents life walking dead. And I'm not talking about that little television show. But I'm talking about living a life in sin. Living a life in the bondage of failure. The things that we do that separate us from a loving God. Our rebellion. Some of us, we're a part of that funeral procession, walking dead in our sin, lifeless, hopeless. Here's a widow coming out. And everything in this moment is hopeless. Her expectations to live well, to have a thriving career, to have a family legacy, hopeless. But grace interrupts the hopeless. Grace interrupts death. Grace interrupts the bondage of sin. Grace interrupts darkness. And Jesus is moved with compassion when he sees her. God will not pass you over. Those of you tonight that are feeling hopeless, those of you tonight that are wrestling with sin, you've been in the bondage of sin, you've been chained to it. You heard the testimonies tonight. The testimonies of someone who each night her stomach was knotted up because of the guilt and the shame of living a lifestyle of sin. And Jesus will not pass you over. Grace that we find in Jesus Christ always will interrupt our sin lifestyle. You and I can't escape the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. It will always meet you head on. It will always interrupt your plans to do whatever you think you should do in your best interest. Right now, you are in a position here in the house of the Lord tonight, interrupted by the grace of God. The moment you stepped in here and you heard the songs, your life has just been interrupted by the love of Jesus Christ. The testimonies that you've heard tonight has been an interruption in what you think you can do or can't do. You've just been interrupted tonight by the presence of God. Because Jesus Christ is moved with compassion for the poor, for the hopeless, for the lonely. He's moved with compassion for the sinner. For the one that is wrestling with guilt and shame because of something that you did yesterday. He's moved with compassion for the one that's bitter and angry because they've been abused in their own home like you heard tonight. He's moved with compassion for the backslider. Yes, you who at one time was living a life believing and hoping and walking in the faith of Jesus Christ, but now you've strayed away and you've gone back into your old ways. He's moved with compassion. And he desires to interrupt the brokenhearted. And Jesus, he tells her, no more tears. Don't cry anymore. And when Jesus says something like that, that means he's about to do something miraculous. If he's gonna, in this moment, if Jesus is gonna speak to you and I and say, dry your tears, that's because he's gonna give you an alternative to these crying moments that you've been experiencing. See, Jesus desires that you would experience a lifetime of grace. Let me tell you, weeping endures for a night, scripture tells us, but joy comes in the morning. But I want to speak to those that might be visiting tonight, because you might be like, oh, that sounded poetic, but I have no idea what that means. Because I wake up in the morning, I'm still crying. So please, I get to my job, I'm still crying. I take my lunch break and I'm still crying. So I don't understand why everybody's clapping. But I want to make sure everybody understands the language of Scripture and what that is expressing to you and I. What that expresses to you and I is that weeping has its season. But when Jesus Christ intervenes, that season comes to an end. And Scripture tells us that joy cometh in the morning. Scripture also tells us that his mercy is new every morning. Meaning this, there comes a time where if you and I would receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're able to now receive this word that says, no more tears. I'm now gonna set you free from the bondage and the guilt and the mess that you've been living in that brings you to tears every night, so that you would know me as Savior, so that you will wake up with a new song on your heart because you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You don't have to cry. And I'm gonna meet your situation face on. Life meets death. Life interrupts death in this moment. He says, you don't have to cry. And he puts his hand on the coffin. And whatever Jesus touches, it's gonna be life. When Jesus puts his hand on our lives, there's resurrection life that happens. That's the power of Jesus. I'm just taking my time tonight because I don't want anybody to miss it. That if you would just receive the touch of Jesus Christ, he'll do something down here in your soul that will bring forth life. He touched that coffin, that wood coffin. You know something? Jesus, by trade, he was a carpenter. I'd like to believe that one of the things that he probably hated to build and construct was coffins. Because everything that was in Jesus Christ was life. He probably despised coffins. He was probably one of those carpenters that said, if anybody ever comes to me for a coffin job, I'm gonna turn them down. I don't do coffins, I do life. So imagine Jesus coming to this coffin like, I've been waiting for this moment. I can't stand this box. Scripture says he touches this thing and the boy just gets up. And then scripture says begins to speak. But hold on, before I, oh, that's good. But before I get to that, scripture tells us that when Jesus touched the coffin, the bearers stood still. Now, they don't know what's going on, but they had enough sense in that moment that when Jesus touches something, let's stop for a moment and expect him to do something. Furthermore, here's what I believe that these bearers represent. You got to picture this moment. Jesus reaches out and touches the coffin, and all of a sudden, bro, stop, don't move. Why, man? We got a whole crowd behind us. I don't know. Bro, stop. Don't move. You want to know why, man? Because this thing is heavy. This dude is heavy. So just wait, man. Just wait. I've heard some stuff. This guy does miracles. Anything he touches, it comes to life, man. And I'm tired of this wait. Watch this. I mean, who wants to carry the weight of death around when Jesus is right here? Why would we want to walk around with the weight of despair and sin when Jesus is right here? Why? Why would we want to walk around and bear the weight of guilt and shame and anger and bitter and unforgiveness when Jesus is right here? Stand still, bro, and let him give us life tonight. Don't anybody walk out of here still carrying the weight of your sin, the weight of darkness, the weight of death. The chains of sin are just too heavy. Man, if Jesus is here, and you know it in your heart, you know it if you just believe in faith, and Jesus is here to touch you and give you life, stand still and watch God set you free. And the boy gets up and he begins to talk. Scripture says he speaks. I was sharing with Pastor Carter in the back a little bit about what I'm sharing right now. And he reminded me that in the context of what we read here, the word speak in the Greek means when God speaks. I looked at Pastor Carter like, whoa, that's a good one for tonight. Because here's what that means. That when he speaks, in that time of death, he had to have received the revelation if it was God speaking in that moment. Which means when he got up, there's Jesus right in his face. And I can only imagine him saying, oh, glory to my God, King of Kings. He's looking at Jesus. You are the Son of God. Thank you. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. There is life. This is not, I'm a new person now. You are the Son of God. Oh, glory to God. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you. Oh, praise God. I'm out of this. Get me out of this coffin. He becomes a new person in that moment with the revelation knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And God gave us his only begotten Son. Only begotten Son, as a sacrifice for you and I. Jesus Christ, moved with compassion, obedient unto his Father, to do the will of his Father, that you and I would be saved tonight, redeemed, set free from our sin, so that we don't have to carry the weight. But one touch of his grace interrupts the walking dead. Because Jesus Christ goes to the cross, he's nailed to the cross, and he dies for our sin. Cross, an old rugged cross. He dies, takes our place, should have been us, should have been me. But grace interrupts my sin debt. Because God is so gracious, he gives us this undeserved favor, this undeserved pass, setting us free from the bondage of sin and death so that we might live. And Jesus, scripture says, he gives the boy back unto his mother. Jesus desires to give life back unto you. Amen. To end your hopeless life that you might be living tonight. He wants to give you back life. You were walking around hopeless. Mom, dad, You feel like it's all over and it's done. But the grace of Jesus Christ desires to interrupt your hopeless lifestyle and to give you back life. And life more abundantly. Life that will last forever, right into eternity, where we'll celebrate with Jesus forever. And this is all going to pass away. And it's an abundant life. It's an eternal life. That's the life he wants to give you. He wants to give you back life where you and I are reconciled back unto the Father, that we would know him as our own Father, that we would not live a life empty and hopeless. I'm going to join the crowd that is all about life. I'm stepping out of this considerable crowd that's walking around in despair and hopelessness and sin. Would you join the right crowd tonight? Would you be willing to step out of the considerable crowd and join the great crowd? Would you allow God's grace to interrupt your sin? Would you allow the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ to interrupt your bitterness, your anger? To interrupt your guilt and shame. Let it be now. There's no getting around it. Jesus is going to face off with you, and he always wins. Worship team, could you come up? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. One of the things that really gets in our way is our pride. Our arrogance. It's one of the biggest hindrances of really receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And some of you right now might be wrestling with your pride. I'm gonna tell you something. That is such a deception of the enemy for you to walk out of here and think that you can continue on with this funeral procession in your life. And I'm calling you out right now that you would be set free in Jesus Christ. I'm gonna tell you this little story. I don't know, I was early 20s. I was in Queens. I was early 20s. I remember I had borrowed a Honda Civic and it had like a nice little speaker system. I'm 40 now, so this was a while ago. I'm not ashamed to tell you that. And I was in this Honda Civic. It was a summer day. And I remember in this particular season of my life, it was all about how I wanted to live life and what I wanted to do. And really, I was heading into a funeral procession in the direction I was going. My own pride, my own arrogance. I thought I could do what I wanted to do. I thought I could establish my own standards as to how I would live for God and then just do me and whatever I wanted to do. And I remember coming to a red light on Steinway Street. Some of y'all might know where that is. I came to a red light on Steinway Street, and I was playing just this worldly music. I mean, just derogatory stuff. And I had my hat on backwards. I was leaned back. And I was just like, boom, boom, boom. And I thought I was somebody. I was like, yeah, you know how you say, some of you young brothers, you know what I'm talking about. You start looking left and right like, yeah. Like, what is that? I don't know. And I was so self-absorbed, and I just thought I was the man in that moment, you know, coming to the light, and it had the nice little sound system on the little red Honda Civic. And I looked to my left, and a little old white lady, 75, maybe late 70s, I noticed she was having a hard time breathing. And she was kind of, she had a cane, she was, and I was like, I assumed she was going to cross the street. I was like, she ain't going to make it. And I looked over at her, and there was a moment where I made eye contact, and I just kind of looked away. And now, mind you, my music's blasting. And I looked again, and she was right at my window, tapping. So I slowly turned the music down. And she could barely breathe. And I know she was out of time. She said, could you give me a ride to see my doctor? I need a ride right now. And now in my mind, I'm like, I'm assuming I'm the last person you'd want to come to. I just don't even fit the profile for you to knock on my door, you know? So I turned down the music. You know, she kind of makes it, and I'm still like, it's a bizarre moment. I'm just kind of watching her, like, go around my car, like, how rude of me, right? I should have got out and helped her, but she made, and the next, you know, complete stranger is, like, in the passenger seat. She, like, has this, she's still, like, having a hard time breathing. She said, hey, just go up 2 blocks, you know? And so I go up 2 more blocks, and, you know, I'm like, okay, you know? And so here we are driving, and she's, make a left, you know? I make a left. All right, she's make a left right here. And I'll never forget, it was just 1 block, it was 2 blocks up, 1 block over, and she tells me to make another left. And so I'm coming back up, you know, it was even Queens style, everything's one way, you know, back and forth. And I come up to the clinic, and we pull over, and she's right here. I was like, all right, you know. And she gets ready to get out, and then she turns to me in the passenger seat and goes, thank you. By the way, God told me to come to you. Yeah. Because, she goes on to say, because you're the one that he's calling unto himself. God bless you. Follow Jesus. She gets out and walks away. And right in that moment, I realized that God had interrupted me in my own pride, self-serving behavior. An absolute interruption. I sat right there in front of that clinic, and I cried for about 10, 15 minutes, realizing that I had met Jesus Christ face to face. And like you heard tonight, I don't know where you are in your life, but he will always pursue you, despite the life that you attempt to live. So I just want to tell you right now, it's better for you to just give your life to Jesus Christ tonight. So I'm going to invite you up. You who maybe are hearing the gospel for the first time, you who have maybe heard it quite a few times, but you're living your life not as a believer in Jesus Christ. The backslider, the one who has strayed away, the religious person who just pops up and just goes to church once in a while. I'd love to pray with you right now. I'd love to stand with you as you face Jesus Christ and you receive life tonight. Would you all stand up with me? Don't let pride get in the way. As you stand with your friend, your spouse, family member, loved one, I'm going to invite you to come down and pray right now. Don't give pride a second of your time. But if you know you need to receive Jesus Christ and truly let him be Savior, I want you to make your way down here right now. Maybe some of you who are believers and you invited somebody, look to them right now, to your left and right, and say, I'll come down with you. But there are people tonight you need to get right with Jesus Christ. Don't worry about people that are around you right now. This is about you. Besides, the people that are standing around you, those that you've been hearing clapping, we're not a part of that considerable crowd, that funeral procession. We're a part of that great crowd that's been redeemed and saved. So we're standing with you. So I want to invite you, come down. I want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. Meet Jesus Christ head on right now. Let him touch those places of death. Let him interrupt your plans. Your plans are not going to work outside of Jesus Christ. Come down right now. Maybe it's a group of you, 5 or 6, and you got plans tonight. Say, well, look, I'm going down, so can all 5 of you just come with me right now? Let him interrupt your plans. Let him interrupt guilt. Let him interrupt despair, anger, and bitterness. Let him interrupt things right now. We're going to worship the Lord right now for a little bit. You've got a few more minutes. Thank you. I see you from the back. Grab your friend's hand. Grab your wife. Grab your child. Bring them on down. He said, listen, he's already done it anyway. So let him just finish the work and come down here. Let's pray and say, God, touch my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're watching online, I invite you, as you've heard, allow the hope that is only in Jesus Christ to interrupt your life of hopelessness, to interrupt life of sin, despair, shame, and guilt. And when he touches your life, you're free. You have a Savior in Jesus Christ who allows us to come to believe in faith that he is the Savior, that he went to the cross and died, and he rose again on the third day. And through Jesus Christ, you can now have life and be a new person. Let it be right now that God has interrupted your life in sin. Could you pray this prayer with me, you that are here? Church, let's be in agreement with them and pray. We come to you, Lord Jesus, acknowledging that you're our Savior. Thank you for going to the cross. I believe you died for me. You paid my sin debt. And you rose again on the third day. Thank you, Jesus, for interrupting my life. My life of sin, guilt and shame, bitterness and anger. Set me free, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. I repent and turn from my wicked ways. Make me a new person. Touch my life. Do a miracle in my life. Heal my heart by your power and your power alone. I'm joining a new crowd, the great crowd of life. No more death. No more bondage of sin. I am a new person saved by grace that has interrupted my life. I have hope. My hope is in you, Jesus, forevermore. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God.